Meet Joe Investor. He's always on the wrong side of the market. Last year, Joe Investor was shorting stocks when he should have been long. And the year before that, he was parked in cash when he should have been invested in bonds. Are you always on the wrong side of the market just like Joe? The Profit Strategy Newsletter at ETFGuide.com will help you to succeed. Join today and get a $100 gift by using promo code JOE100. Go to ETFGuide.com to get started and promise yourself to never ever be on the wrong side of the market.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge. Ron DeLegge.
Momentum stocks are getting clobbered. The biotech sector getting clobbered. Social media stocks getting clobbered. We're going to get to the bottom of that on today's broadcast. What does it mean for the broader stock market? Also coming up, what about the latest HFT scandal on Wall Street? That stands for high frequency trader. We're going to get to the bottom of that. Cheating in financial markets. And my program guest will talk with me a little bit more about that in depth. Eric Hunsader, he's the CEO of a company called Nanix, Nanix.net, which is based in Chicago. And there is a disturbing reluctance on the part of securities regulators to do their job and to protect the investing public. They've been backstabbing the investing public, in my view. And we're going to talk about that. If you'd like to join us to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, investment theme, you want to talk about the economy, you want to talk about interest rates, you want to talk about this high frequency trader scandal. And let me be clear about this. High frequency cheating is not the type of Bernie Madoff in your face fraud where people lose everything they invest overnight. It's a more subtle fraud where nickels and dimes are being siphoned off every time you buy and sell an exchange-listed security. Now, that doesn't make it right. In fact, I referred to this in several articles I published at my website, etfguide.com, referring back to the days of Richard Ney. I'm going to give you some historical perspective on this because he wrote a bestseller in 1970 called Wall Street Jungle. It's recommended reading for all of our listeners. You may have trouble finding it. It is out of print, but you can still probably pick up some copies of Wall Street Jungle on eBay or in a secondary market on Amazon. But Richard Ney was right on. So we're going to get into that. I'm going to share some thoughts with you on the program. Also, we'll get into some of your phone calls and emails. Again, 877-711-5611 is the number. We're here. This is a live program. If you'd like to join us, do so. So let's begin with what happened in financial markets this past week. We have begun to see a new dynamic in the stock market. Some of the stocks that were once leading the market, like the biotech sector and some of these social media stocks, and there are ETFs that we track on the program tracking these areas, the NASDAQ biotech sector, ticker symbol IBB, that's an iShares ETF, was up 21% through February, but now has a year-to-date loss of almost 1%. My goodness, what a mighty fall in just a month's time for the biotech sector. Up 21% through February. Now it's given back all of those gains. It's posting a year-to-date loss. Some of these other hot sectors like social media stocks have begun to cool off also. We've seen some of these stocks like Twitter begin to slide in value and lose their steam. And you know what's interesting about this is right now the leaders in the stock market are getting killed first, while the broader market is still actually holding up. The Vanguard Total Stock Market ETF, which tracks the entire U.S. stock market, large, mid, and small company stocks, still ahead by 1% since the beginning of the year. So the broader stock market still holding up, but these hot sectors, these momentum sectors like biotech and social media getting killed first while the broader market still holds up. And that's very different from previous cycles where we've seen the tendency of the exact opposite, where the leaders are the last man standing. The leaders are the kind of the last area that are taken out. It's the broader market that sinks first, and then the leaders follow the broader market. This time around, it's just the reverse. We're seeing the leaders get killed first while the broader market is still holding up. So I think it's a very dangerous sign for the broader market when we see these leaders begin to lag, as we do right now with the biotechs. Ticker symbol BIS. For those of you that are bears, this one has been a great trade over the past month. BIS aims for double daily opposite performance to biotech stocks. It is quite volatile. I mean, the biotech sector, period, is volatile on its own without leverage. But then when we mix in leverage, whether that's long or short, you're going to get even more, volatility. So BIS is not for the faint of heart. But again, that's the ticker symbol for the ETF that aims for double daily opposite performance to biotech stocks. If this sector continues to sink, you're going to see some more gains in BIS. 877-711-5611 is the number. We're here. This is the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. My April ETF Profit Strategy newsletter is out. I encourage all of our listeners to get a copy. You can go to etfguide.com, and I've got my mega investment theme report, which organizes the top investment themes around the globe and the ETFs to play them. Also got the highest yielding dividend ETFs neatly organized for those of you that are income-oriented investors. We also did our monthly income trade for April, which is also contained in the April ETF Profit Strategy newsletter. We generated around $800 of monthly income, and that's on an all ETF portfolio, a $100,000 hypothetical portfolio. And actually, over the past year, we have averaged around 8-9% yield with that monthly income trade. So you can find out what the specifics are on that at etfguide.com. Now, I want to talk about high frequency trading, also known as HFT. Whenever you hear HFT, that refers to high frequency trading. Now, I need to be very clear with our audience. This is not the type of trading that refers to individual day traders who are at home buying and selling stocks. High frequency trader refers to a firm specifically set up or designed to extract an unfair advantage over other stock market participants by either getting data quicker from major stock exchanges or by whatever means that's necessary for them to, again, profit illicitly and illegally and unlawfully to the detriment of everyone else in the stock market. So coming up a little bit later, Eric Hunsader is going to be talking with us about that. And this news of stock market manipulation by high-speed traders was recently discussed on a 60 Minutes report by Michael Lewis. He's the author of a brand new book called Flash Boys. But even before Lewis came around, there was that book, Wall Street Jungle, by Richard Ney. It's an absolute great book that was written in an era before the dominance of electronic trading. And what Ney did was he exposed the stock market rigging that was happening back then that is still happening today, of course, in a little bit of a different way, just because the era is different. Today, we've got electronic trading, whereas in 1970, they didn't. But here's what Ney said. And when I read this to you, just remember, when he's referring to market specialists, that's analogous to today's high-frequency traders, okay? So whenever I read to you the word specialist, you can just replace it with HFT or high-frequency trader. So here's what Ney said, a beautiful, beautiful quote. Quote, specialists, or HFTs, we can substitute that, are a privileged group of brokers on the floor of the exchange, Most investors' orders to buy or sell stock goes through their hands. What happens when an investor's order conflicts with the price of the specialist, what he wants for his own trading? In many situations, specialists have the power to set and control prices unilaterally. End of quote. This is the Index Investing Show. We'll talk about that when I come back.
The Index Investing Show with Lon DeLegio.
All right, this is your weekly insight into the major stock, bond, and commodity indexes. It's called the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLegge. 877-711-5611 is the number. My Twitter handle, at Index Show. You can also email the program with any questions, comments, or complaints. Ron at indexshow.com is the email address. Listener discretion is advised on today's program because we're talking about something that's very shocking and appalling, and it relates to stock market cheating by HFT firms, also known as high-frequency traders. Does anyone get the feeling that financial regulators like the Securities Exchange Commission and FINRA continue to backstab the investing public with this pretense of protecting the public when, in fact, they have not been doing that? Do you get that feeling? You know, I have that feeling, but what do you think about it? 877-711-5611. And as I said to you earlier in the broadcast, before Michael Lewis's Flash Boys, there was Richard Ney, who wrote an outstanding book. It was a bestseller in 1970 called The Wall Street Jungle. I'm going to read an excerpt of that book from you, explaining how at that time, major stock exchanges like the New York or the NYSE were basically collaborating with market specialists to the public's detriment. Here's what he had to say, quote, "Behind a facade of pompous jargon and noble affections, there's more sheer larceny per square foot on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange than any other place in the world. Clearly, the lunatic economics of this larceny appeal to the criminal. The story is told that after he'd been deported to Italy, Lucky Luciano granted an interview in which he described a visit to the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. When the operations of the floor specialist had been thoroughly explained to him, he said, 'Oh no, a terrible thing happened. I realized I joined the wrong mob.'" End of quote. Isn't that just brilliant? Lucky Luciano, an Italian mobster, joining the wrong mob. He wanted to join the NYSE, but he had later realized it was too late. This is what's going on today. This is what these HFTs are doing. They have basically collaborated with major stock exchanges to basically hurt the public and to have an unfair advantage and all of these things. And I can't get into them just because of time, but at my website, etfguide.com, I wrote an article titled "Four Bold-Faced Lies About High-Frequency Trading and High-Frequency Traders." And one of them that I really need to tackle, that I absolutely must tackle, is that HFTs create greater transparency in the stock market and that they provide liquidity. By posting phony bids and offers on stock exchanges, what HFTs are really doing, they're not creating more transparency. They're extracting information from real buyers and real sellers to use that as an unfair advantage for themselves. So the only transparency that they're creating is for their own illegal self-interests. What about this false theory that HFTs are providing market liquidity? Again, standard propaganda often promoted by the very stock exchanges that cater to HFTs. And even some academic literature out there, usually paid for by the colluders, promotes this liquidity fairy tale too. I repeat, The sole existence of HFTs is to steal and to cheat with their illegitimate edge over other stock market participants. Whatever market liquidity that HFTs seemingly create is purely incidental to their other dishonest activities, which always take priority. Remember that. 877-711-5611. That is the number. This is the Index Investing Show. What do you think about HFT cheating? What do you think about securities regulators who have taken a very lax and ignorant view toward this type of illicit trading? And as I said to you before, it's not the type of Bernie Madoff in-your-face fraud where people lose everything they invest overnight. It's more of a subtle fraud where nickels and dimes are being siphoned off every time you buy and sell on an exchange. What's happening is a little bit of money is being stolen for the benefit of a very select few. And it's tantamount to really nothing more than cheating. And the Securities Exchange Commission and FINRA and all these other regulators continue to let it happen on their watch. Now, I also need to mention, because it's very important, I don't want our listeners to think that stock market cheaters or cheating is a reason to boycott or to not invest. Need to be very clear about that. That makes absolutely no sense. Yeah, let's cut off our own noses to get even. I mean, how does that make sense? No, I'm not going to save. No, I'm not going to invest because there's stock market cheating. Well, that's pretty stupid way to reason, isn't it? I mean, you still need to save. You still need to invest. The cheaters will eventually be revealed and be caught as they always are. May take a little bit of time for justice to be served. But the point here is we still have to focus on our investment goals and your financial goals. And that's the priority, is yourself. This is why I bring this to your attention, so that you can be aware of what's happening, but also make sure that you protect and defend yourself. Don't rely on these regulators who don't even do their job to protect you. The best form of defense is education and you protecting yourself. Forget them. They're not capable of doing their job. So you got to protect yourself. You got to be defensive. You got to be educated. And that's one of the reasons we air this weekly broadcast. It's a public service to help you to get ahead and to avoid this nonsense. Now, coming up a little bit later, my program guest, Eric Hansader, will be joining me. We'll be talking more about the HFT scandal. He has been in the thick of this, at the heart of this, and kind of a quiet hero about revealing what's been going on with this cheating. But other than that, another thing that I need to make you aware of is that the interviews that I'm doing here on the broadcast are not extended. To listen to the extended version of the interview, you got to listen to our podcast. So I can't cover all of the material that I'd like to cover with the regular radio broadcast just because of time. So this particular interview that I did with Eric is also has an extended version available for our podcast listeners. Indexshow.com and just hit the podcast. Now, I want to give you a quick recap on where some of the major market indexes stand so far in 2014. And this is since the beginning of the year. We already talked about the total U.S. stock market, which is ahead by 1%. Total U.S. bond market up by almost a 1.5%. International emerging market stocks down between 0.7%. And let's see, REITs, also known as real estate investment trusts, doing awesome. VNQ ahead by 10%. And then gold still ahead by 8%. GLD is the ticker symbol on that. Some of the top performing industry sectors within the S&P, utilities, ticker symbol XLU, ahead by 9%. Also doing well, our healthcare stocks, XLV, up around 4.5%. Both of those S&P sectors outperforming the broader market. And the story behind utilities, defensive equity sectors are the name of the game. If you're going to play equities right now, that's, I think, the way to play them, with those defensive sectors. XLU, utilities, pretty defensive. Not only doing pretty well and outperforming the broader market, but also you're getting a nice dividend. In fact, the dividend on utilities is about twice that of the S&P 500, which has about a 1.9% yield. So think about that, you income investors. Coming up next, HFT scandal. What does it mean for you? Eric Hunsader, right here on the Index Investing Show.
Meet Joe Investor. He wants badly to succeed at investing, but he's always on the wrong side of the market. For example, last year, Joe Investor was long commodity ETFs when he should have been short. And the year before that, he was parked in cash when he should have been invested in long-term U.S. Treasuries. And what about this year? Well, like all the times before, Joe Investor is on the wrong side of the market once again. What about you? Are you just like Joe Investor? The Profit Strategy Newsletter at ETFGuide.com will help you to succeed by keeping you on the right side of the market. We tell you what to buy, what to sell, and when to do it. Join today and get a $50 bonus by using promo code JOE50. Our no bull approach to investing is world famous. Our monthly newsletter, our weekly picks, and our technical forecast will keep you ahead of the pack. Go to ETFGuide.com to get started. And one more thing, promise yourself to never ever be on the wrong side of the market.
I'm Ron DeLegge with the Index Investing Show. Welcome back. There's a disturbing reluctance on the part of regulatory agencies like the Securities and Exchange Commission, along with FINRA, to reveal the dark truth about high-frequency trading and to do their job to maintain a fair and orderly stock market. Before I get into today's special interview, a couple of things before we start. We're going to be using the term HFT in reference to high-frequency trader. So whenever you hear HFT, we are referring to high-frequency trader. It's also important that you understand that high-frequency trader, or HFT, does not refer to the individual day traders buying and selling stocks or ETFs from their home. So without further ado, let's welcome our program guest, Eric Hunsader. He's the CEO at Nanix. Nanix.net is his website, and his company provides real-time and historical trading data on futures, options, stocks, and ETFs. He's based in Chicago, and even before Michael Lewis came out with his Flash Boys book, Eric has been right in the thick of it, right in the center of the HFT scandal that's currently unfolding. Eric, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Now, explain to our audience who exactly are high-frequency traders and how much trading volume on U.S. stock exchanges do they account for?
Well, they're really what the market makers used to be. So they have their machines co-located, and their claim is that they make a market, so that they're always at the bidder offer.
Now, by posting phony bids and offers on stock exchanges, these high-speed traders, or as I like to call them, cheaters, because that's what they're really doing, they're able to extract information from real buyers and real sellers, and they use that information as an unfair advantage for themselves. Talk about that.
Well, yes, that's true. I mean, if you've ever put a market order in for a large amount, more than 100 shares, let's say 2,000, and it shows on your quote screen that there's 2,000 available, but you find that you don't get all 2,000 of them. You get fewer than that. And that, maybe if it happens to you once, you might say, well, it was just somebody else was there at the same time. But when it happens to you repeatedly, you start wondering if something else is going on.
So, in other words, I put in an order for, let's say, 1,000 shares of an ETF, and I only get 800 shares of that ETF at a certain price. And then what about the remaining 200 shares?
Well, if it's a market order, you get a little higher price on the balance. If it's a marketable limit order, you just get 800.
So HFT firms, and I need to clarify this, they pay for information, they get it faster from stock exchanges. That in itself is not illegal if that same opportunity set is available to all investors. So do you see anything unlawful or wrong about the relationship between HFTs and major stock exchanges?
There's two things here. First of all, Reg NMS, there was a fine that the NYSE received, $5 million fine in September of 2012, and that was because they were providing the high-speed traders the same information faster than they were providing it to the SIP. But the SIP is a consolidated data stream, a consolidated quote. It's what most people get their quotes from because it's the dollar a month or $127 a month fee versus the $10,000 to $100,000 a month fee. So you'll know real quick which camp you're in. Anyway, Rule 603A2 in Reg MS is very clear that the SIP, the Consolidated Quote System, would receive the information fast, at the same speed or faster than a direct feed. And that's what's being violated here. The other thing that is going on, the story hasn't actually come out yet, is that for a period of time, there was one exchange that moved to a new data facility and only allowed their members to get these direct feeds for about 2 years. So not everybody was able to purchase the faster feeds, which they're not supposed to be faster in the first place.
Right. And also that opportunity set, again, has to be available to everyone, not just a select crew.
Right.
Is that right?
Right. So when you say available to everyone, what if it was so expensive that only a billionaire could afford it? Is it still available to everyone? I mean, when it really costs, if you want to get the direct fees and you want to be on an equal footing with them, it would cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars a month. Is that equal access?
HFT firms. Oh, by the way, if you're just joining us, we're pleased to be talking with Eric Hunsader. He's the CEO at Nanix.net, and they provide real-time and historical trading data on futures, options, stocks, and ETFs. And as I said at the beginning of this interview, he's been right at the center, right at the heart of this unfolding high-frequency trader scandal. Now, Felix Salmon at Reuters tweeted that high-frequency trading has declined significantly since 2008 and that it's really not as much of a problem like it used to be. Is that true?
Well, his own chart that he posts on his site doesn't corroborate that conclusion, so I'm not sure where he's getting that conclusion from. Virtue's S1 chart certainly doesn't indicate that there's that much of a slowdown. I think what's happened is you have fewer firms, but it's being concentrated in fewer firms. So there's not as many high-frequency trading firms, but the few that are left have simply moved in that space. They've grown.
Now, I want to tackle the specific pieces of propaganda usually promoted by bribed academic researchers and stock exchange PR departments that HFTs are necessary because, A, they provide market liquidity, and, B, they lower the cost of investing for everyone. Give me your take.
Well, it's fascinating. When somebody says that, ask them what the word liquidity means, because they have a completely different definition of the word liquidity, which includes being aggressive. So most people, when they think of liquidity, that means somebody who's sitting at the bidder offer and is willing to buy or sell stock, not aggressively buying and selling stock, which they participate in. And they'll tell you, though, that that's providing liquidity with a straight face. And I've captured a couple of conversations that I've posted on our site with Remco Lederman, for example, the chairman of the FIA in Europe, who had that notion. So ask them what liquidity means. As far as lowering costs, even by their own charts and data that they provide, we don't see that. We see that they're conflating electronic trading with high-frequency trading. Electronic trading and high-frequency trading are often confused as the same thing. One of those lowered costs, the other one lowered ethics.
And so just explain to us quickly the difference between the two, just that last point that you hammered on, the difference between electronic trading and high-frequency trading. Just say that again.
It's computerization that came to all other industries lowered costs. It made things more efficient. You could do more things with fewer people. That is what dropped our costs. And also going to decimalization was a big drop in costs. But when high-frequency trading sprang up around 2007, from all the data that's published out there, including the data that on HFT propaganda sites or their very own lobbyist sites, you'll see that the costs have never returned as low as it was in 2006.
Now, Eric, what about the type of financial risks to global stock markets that these high-frequency trading firms are creating? Talk about that.
Well, they're starting to move into currencies. If you look at Virtue's S-1, it shows a significant amount of their profitability is coming from the currency markets. And the problem is that with the currency markets, because you can't, your government really can't, the government can't really regulate another country's currency. So you get into these, if something goes wrong, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, is it's not a simple matter of calling up one regulator. It's a matter of coordinating among governments. And, you know, the fear is that these algorithms are going to misprice something, and that's going to cause a very quick destruction of some country's currency that's going to then topple like dominoes over into other asset classes because of margin calls or because of collateral. Who knows what will trigger that.
What about the flash crash here in the U.S. stocks in 2010 falling, that we saw the Dow Jones Industrial Average falling 1,000 points and then recouping within a matter of minutes? Were HFT trading firms or HFTs behind that?
Yes, they were. So the very nature of some of these firms is they will absorb. They'll absorb sell orders for up to a certain point, up to three sigmas, whatever, three standard deviations or whatever their parameters are. But once they get to the full point, in other words, when they've absorbed as much as they're willing to tolerate, what they do is they don't quietly reverse out of their position. They just dump it all at once as fast as possible. And they know when they're going to do that, especially if you're talking about E-mini futures, they're going to take it. They're going to know that that's going to severely impact the market. So they'll go ahead and they'll short SPY and they'll buy put options on SPY and sell calls on SPY and in many other large stocks that make up SPY. So when they got full, they just turned around and dumped their inventory and tried to profit on the downside to recoup that loss. And so that caused the whole system to overload. I mean, the systems couldn't handle the amount of quote and trade traffic that were generated, and that caused everybody to be looking at data that was, well, CNBC was over 30 seconds behind.
So could that sort of thing happen again?
Oh, yes, for sure.
So not much has really changed since 2010 other than some, you know, lipstick on some pigs is what you're saying.
Right. So limit up, limit down. What that will do is that will just freeze it all 10% down so that more people can participate in the horror.
If you're just joining us, we're pleased to be talking with Eric Hunsader. He's the CEO at Nanex.net. His company reveals or provides real-time and historical trading data on futures, options, stocks, and ETFs. He's based in Chicago. I'm Ron DeLegge with the Index Investing Show. Now, why is the FBI investigating high-frequency trading firms when the job of making sure markets are stable and fair is that of the Securities and Exchange Commission? I mean, if the FBI has to get involved, Eric, doesn't that give us a very powerful statement as to the ineptness and incompetence of the SEC?
Yes, and it's even, if you read Michael Lewis's book, I experienced severe revulsion when, you know, a lot of what Brad Katsuyama experienced with the SEC was similar to my experiences with them. And, you know, he had some facts in there that just made me livid. Basically, the SEC was saying, you guys can't do that. You have to let the high-frequency traders be able to cancel their orders fast enough to get out of the way, kind of language. And where it seems like they are they cater to the high-frequency trading group. And worse, 200 people have left the trading and markets division at the SEC to go to work for high-frequency trading firms in the last 4 years. That's astounding.
Yeah, it is astounding. It's a revolving door between the trading firms and the SEC, and it's a conflict of interest. Tell us quickly about your Twitter exchange with former SEC Commissioner Art Levitt, the same commissioner who, when he was in office, the Madoff scandal was happening right underneath his nose. He missed it completely. But tell us about Art's lax view, the SEC's lax attitude towards HFTs. This was a Twitter exchange that you and him had this past week. Talk about that.
Yeah, you know, I don't actually recall the details. I've had quite a few exchanges with people in the industry over this, as you can well imagine. But a lot of them are just so misinformed. They, first of all, don't understand what the word liquidity means. Right there, you know that the conversation is going to be the fact that they bring out is not going to square. It just seemed to me he was out of touch, and it was all about rainbows and unicorns.
What about the SEC's adoption of Regulation FD, fair disclosure? Doesn't that apply not just to publicly traded companies that disseminate information, but it also extends to how major stock exchanges and anybody with non-public material information should operate? I mean, do you believe major stock exchanges like the NYSE and NASDAQ, do you think that they've colluded with high-frequency trading firms to violate Reg FD?
Well, I don't know about collusion, but I think the incentives are strong. I mean, a lot of the exchange's income is dependent on this group, and that incentive alone is going to cause them to do things that, well, I know they're giving the data to them faster than they're legally allowed to. So, you know, who knows what else is going on.
Now, what about the individual investor? Let's bring this back home to you, to me, to the person listening to this interview. What do we do? Should we abandon investing? I mean,
no.
Should we watch and be careful about the type of orders that we place? Give us your perspective on this.
You should, if you've never written to your congressman before, this is the time to do it because it will have the most impact. This is wrong. These guys are not following the rules that everybody else has to follow in life. We live in a society based on rule of law. And when the regulator isn't doing their job, you know, it's time to call in the next level, which, you know, right now is the FBI and the Attorney General of New York. And by the way, I have confidence that the Attorney General of New York is going to either be responsible for effecting change or waking up the regulator, so sort of by shaking the regulator out of their coma and starting to actually do their job.
Should the individual investor be careful about the types of... Yeah, go ahead and talk about that.
Yeah, as an investor, you should ask your broker where they're routing your trades. Where are your trades being executed at? Is somebody buying that order flow from you and taking advantage of your limit order by stepping ahead and seeing if they can make the spread? And if they can't, they'll give you the order. Otherwise, you might have a limit order in that never gets executed, but you'll see that somebody got it a penny higher than you, and you'll wonder, well, how did that happen?
But don't most brokerage firms operate that way?
Not all of them. Look at your brokerage statement and see if you have trades that have execution prices with four decimal places. In other words, not just pennies, but then there's more points after that. If all of your buy orders appear with the last two of the four digits, 99, let's say $25, one penny, and 99 one-hundredths of a penny, and all of your sell orders end in the last two digits, 01, then somebody's taking advantage of you. They're giving you one-hundredth of a penny. They call that price improvement, but they're pocketing 99 of it.
So what's happening is that... they're stealing from many, and a very few are benefiting from this, the HFTs. One last thing before you take off. Do you think this means class action lawsuits against stock exchanges are coming?
That's a coin flip.
It's
hard because the exchanges have, they're protected. They're not a public company that's subject to capitalism like most companies. They're quasi-government organizations that have special legal protection. Otherwise, the attorneys would have solved this problem a long time ago.
You just heard from Eric Hunsader. He's the CEO at Nanix.net. Go there. He provides regular updates. He's also on Twitter. Eric, great interview. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show. Thanks for tuning in. Take care.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
All right. 877-711-5611. I'm Ron DeLegge. This is the Index Investing Show. I also write at ETFGuide.com. I've got my monthly ETF Profit Strategy newsletter. The April edition is out. Go there, get a copy. It's jam-packed with money-making strategies along with some of our top ETF picks. And let's go to beautiful Oakland. We've got David with us. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Ron. Enjoy your show. Earlier you referenced...
I'm glad you do.
You referenced yes. IBD and defense drops, and I was wondering if now is a good time to get some of that, or should I wait?
You want to go long? You don't own a position in IBB right now, do you?
No.
Okay.
And, you also mentioned
and so you're thinking about this is...
You also mentioned BIS.
Okay. Can you lower your radio, too? Can you lower your radio, too? Because we're getting a little bit of a feedback there. IBB, for the rest of our listeners, is the iShares NASDAQ Biotech ETF. And actually, this has been one of the hottest performing sector ETFs out there. Now, the thing about it, David, is this particular ETF has actually led the market higher, not just this year, but actually for the past several years. And really, when you think about the biotech sector, it's an area that has always been speculative, right? I mean, can we agree on that, David?
Yes.
Okay, so it's a speculative sector. I mean, a lot of these companies are either startups or they're publicly, you know, traded enterprises with a very short history, and they don't have much in the way of earnings or profits. And so right now, I think the market's appetite is waning for these types of stocks. So I think you got to follow market prices. Market prices tell you everything, David. I mean, that's really the way that I operate. I don't operate based upon feelings. I've always said that if you need to not trade with your heart, but trade with your brains. And market prices are a leading indicator. And right now, market prices are saying that there's more downside ahead for the biotech sector. Now, I don't know how deep the sell-off will get or become, but I do know that they were up 21% at the end of February, and they've lost all of those gains. So what will it take to resurrect the biotech sector? I mean, is this just a small flesh wound for a next upswing to new highs, or are we going to follow market prices and you know, either short the sector or avoid it or wait for lower valuations? So that's kind of my take on it. And my colleague Chad Carnes at ETF Guide does a great technical forecast, and he actually, the biotechs is one of the sectors he's been following. So I encourage you to check that out. David, thank you so much for the call and for listening.
Thanks a lot.
877-711-5611 is the number. This is the Index Investing Show. Let me just quickly get to an email. Dear Ron, I'm a listener of your program every Sunday morning. You do a great job and actually offer some useful information compared to some of the others out there. I've got a question about treasury rates. Do you expect returns on the 5, 7, and 10-year notes and the 30-year bond to start increasing now that the Federal Reserve is starting their taper. Why haven't we seen much movement, even with the reductions thus far? Thanks for the program. Signed, John B. in Palo Alto, California. Well, the Federal Reserve did indeed begin its scaling back of monthly Treasury bond purchases in January. And a lot of people had expected that interest rates would then suddenly rise and bond prices would fall, but that has not been the case. The yield on both 10-year and 30-year Treasury bonds have slid around 8 or 9% since the Fed began tapering. So what the heck is going on? Well, there's another dynamic behind what's been going on in the Treasury market, and I think it's been temporarily and artificially actually inflating Treasuries. And that's been the outflow of money from shaky emerging markets into U.S. Treasuries as the perceived safe haven. We all know, by the way, that U.S. Treasuries are not a safe haven, right? We've already established that fact. They're a quasi-safe haven. And so money, again, is flowing out of shaky emerging markets into U.S. Treasuries. And if a stock market sell-off becomes more pronounced, we already got a little bit of it this past week, but if that becomes more pronounced, my expectation is that same dynamic of higher bond prices and lower yields will continue. I think the short-term trade, if you're going to make one, is to stay long Treasuries, and some of those bull leveraged Treasury ETFs may yet have more life in them. Who would have thunk it? Take a look at ticker symbol UBT, which aims for double daily performance to long-term U.S. Treasuries, UBT, and also the direction Treasury Bull ETF, which is ticker symbol TMF, does the same exact thing as UBT, except with triple daily leverage to long-term U.S. Treasuries. Both of those ETFs ahead between 9 to 20% over the past 3 months. If you'd like to send me an email, a question, a comment, a ticker symbol, send it to ron@indexshow.com. Be sure to put your first name along with your city, and I will get to it. Also, you can tweet me 24/7 at Index Show is my Twitter handle. So that version, or rather that interview, rather, that we just did with Eric Hunsader, I do an extended version of that interview. I have it available at my podcast for our radio listeners, and you can listen to some of the things that I talk about there with Eric, and particularly the impact on the individual investor of these high-frequency cheaters. I mean, there's just so much that they're doing behind the scenes that's destructive to capital markets, to individual investors. And really, you know, this is a classic example, I think, of the domino effect, where we've got rogue frequency traders being blessed by rogue stock exchanges who have in turn been blessed by rogue regulators. I mean, none of this was supposed to happen. And the SEC, they adopted Regulation FD, also known as Reg FD, Fair Disclosure. That doesn't just apply to how publicly traded companies disseminate information. It also extends to how major stock exchanges and anybody with non-public material information should operate. And we've even seen a couple of companies move in this direction. Business Wire said on February 14th it's no longer going to allow HFT firms to license direct feeds. Good for them. And until major stock exchanges take concrete steps to stop this unfair and unlawful dissemination of their big data to their HFT colluders, well, I think that they will continue to remain and be in violation of Reg FD and other applicable securities laws. And there actually was an exchange between our guest, Eric Hunsader, and Art Levitt, an SEC commissioner, this past week, and I posted it at etfguide.com in my article titled Four Boldface Lies About High Frequency Trading. And Art Levitt, an ex-SEC official, this is what he tweeted to my program guest Eric Hunsader. quote, U.S. markets are not rigged, but some regulations that allowed the market to be dominated by HFTs should be revisited, end of quote. That's from Art Levitt, a ex-SEC official, showing the lax view, the nonchalant attitude that these regulators have towards HFTs. In fact, in Michael Lewis's book, Flash Boys, he even describes a certain incident where a lower-level Securities and Exchange auditor came in and actually tried to defend an HFT firm, saying, make way for the HFTs. Let me protect the HFTs ahead of the investing public. It's absolutely appalling and unacceptable. Well, that does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Join us again next week, same time, same station. And until we meet again, may the market indexes be with you.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.